Let's get to our guest, Cesar Masri, head of EM Cross Asset Strategy at Goldman Sachs. Cesar, Nancy Pelosi rattled markets, but treasuries did not get a bid. So something changed in a hurry. What did you make of this massive spike in treasury yields?
Yeah, well, we did have some headlines about some Fed officials, you know, still saying we're a ways away from containing inflation. So I think, you know, this move in yield is probably just some, you know, giving up of the previous move. But I think the bottom line, just on fundamentals, is look, we're not out of the woods. We still have high inflation. We have, you know, falling and quite weak growth, and so that sets up for quite a bit of volatility across markets. You know, our view, you know, in that light, is to basically be, you know, to basically be defensive. And certainly now the added vol coming out of Asia, you know, it doesn't help the EM pie in aggregate.
Yeah, I wanted, let me just follow really quickly, Rish. Everybody knew what the Fed speakers said. I mean, there was really not much new there. Kashkari told us that 2 days ago. So it's kind of hard to say that was the catalyst, isn't it?
I suppose so. But again, we're coming off of a period of very high vol, both in markets, but also in fundamentals. And I think that's sort of, to me, at least the critical story. I mean, first, you look in general, I would say very hard to look at just, you know, a few hours or one day of trading, because positioning is light. We're in August, you know, maybe people are taking vacation and so on. I mean, you can explain short-term technicals through a variety of factors. Again, as a research guy, what I would say is fundamental volatility is very high, and you're going to see whipsawing in markets, especially when, you know, the view from particularly like equity investors who've been, you know, very much happy to have a Fed put, so to speak, for quite some time, maybe got a little bit of a sign last week in the presser that actually the Fed, you know, is somewhat worried about growth as well as inflation. And so you might get some accommodation therein. I mean, again, I think the market's calibration of the forward on the Fed is really whipsawing. And so I don't think, you know, the latest moves is any different.
And very quickly, I mean, at the end of the day, Cesar, we've got EM central banks being held hostage to what the Fed does.
I think that's right. I wouldn't maybe say it exactly as much because, again, many EM central banks, particularly outside of Asia, have been tightening for a year and a half, right? And so actually, you know, again, you can be, there are many EMs, so one could perhaps pick one to fit an example. But Brazil, you know, we have a meeting on Wednesday, so tomorrow in the Western Hemisphere, and we think that might signal the end of the hiking cycle, for example. They've hiked rates, you know, something like 10 percentage points, right, over the past year and a half. And so there are pockets where, you know, EM has already done the work, I would say. But I would very much agree with the sentiment of what you, you know, are suggesting, in so much as it's very hard to see EM fixed income or EM rates rally if US core yields, you know, sell off. I mean, that we have to be, you know, clear about that, even if there's the potential energy or the yield spread, you know, therein.
Tell us, Cesar, you know, what are you making of the space itself? I mean, it's not a unitary asset class. It's got obviously all the different assets within it and also different jurisdictions. And I guess we've got to say that, you know, is it a situation in Asia, at least, for countries which have oil and those who don't?
Yeah, I think there's a number of delineations across the EM complex, and oil has been a very important one. Certainly, if we look at performance of the past, you know, 6 months, the haves and the have-nots, so to speak. But of course, oil has come down quite a bit, which has helped, you know, the interest rate story of recent months. So again, that can whipsaw again. But I would say the other important delineation, and probably the one that's more strategic, is basically tying to the news of the hour, which is China is a very important, very idiosyncratic risk, and most EM investors, whether it's in fixed income or equities, are cutting that out of the allocation. Not to say it's better or worse, but simply it's a separate risk. And so you see a lot of EM ex-China mandates picking up. I think that's, you know, a strategic theme that, again, ties to what we're seeing today.
So Pelosi's a big story in the last 24 hours, and U.S.-China relations always get a lot of attention. However, inflation is even bigger in markets. I find one comment that you made kind of interesting, that in EM, you like interest rate-sensitive equities. You find them appealing. Explain that.
Yeah, well, again, I think everything has to be a little bit debated. Are we talking about the next 1 month or the next, you know, 6 months to a year? And I would say strategically, so call that again 6 months out, which again may be a difficult maturity given the vol we're experiencing, you know, the last couple of days and probably for the rest of the week. The key story in EM is that EM central banks have been ahead of the Fed. I mean, that to me is the biggest theme, effectively, you know, the differentiator that we've seen, again, going back several quarters. So as we think forward, yeah, maybe interest rates rise and core rates still pressure the EM complex in the near term. But the value, if you want to call it the risk premia, is the wedge between EM local interest rates and U.S. interest rates. And there are a number of equity sectors, a number of equity markets, mostly outside of Asia, I mean, ASEAN to some degree, that I think will benefit if we can adopt a strategic view, again, call that 6 months plus, you know, and lever to that theme of compression.
Susan, I just want to get back to what you mentioned about, you know, mandates which don't include China. How concerning is the property market? I mean, that's something which has been just burning away. But now with mortgage boycotts and the like, the banking system is really in the crosshairs. Are you concerned about an existential threat to what's going on with those lenders right now and whether their balance sheets are strong enough given how the pressure is growing on them?
I mean, certainly so. Both, you know, fundamentally and in markets, and our credit analyst on the ground there, Ken Ho, who's been on your program, has certainly highlighted a number of those. So I would say just two quick things. You know, the first one is, again, it's less about risks on China. Obviously, there are many. We can discuss them. But to me, the key about this mandate shift is simply that China is a huge market, both in fixed income and equity, is moving to its own drum. And so you wouldn't want to commingle, so to speak, the risks of China with the rest of EM. That, to me, is the crucial point to underscore. In terms of the property market and the spillovers, absolutely, that's a concern. We're quite negative on the growth outlook. But I would just say a lot of it's in the price.
Okay, so back to the big question, inflation. Zoltan Poser at Credit Suisse, he thinks inflation is more structural than most people realize and that it will take a deep and prolonged recession to fix. If that's the case, your call 6 months out might be shaky. What do you think of that comment?
Yeah, I think that comment is shared by a number of people. And look, we think core, and look, there's a number of things here. Look, again, Powell was quite clear in saying it's core PCE. That is what the Fed, you know, will look at. And we expect core PCE to stay above, you know, the target range through the bulk of next year, certainly on a year-on-year basis. Okay. So that, look, we understand that inflation is very high. To me, it's about the light at the end of the tunnel. It's seeing second derivative changes and, importantly, inflation expectations.
Excellent. Okay, Cesar, thanks very much. Cesar Masri, Goldman Sachs.